That song says, I'm amazed at how you love me. You know, I'm amazed that he even loves me. Looking back at who I am and who I was and where everything was in my life, all I could think of while I was standing there singing was how amazed I am that he could even love me after my life was what it was. And I'm sure that speaks to many of you. I want to speak something into your life this morning. I believe with all of my heart that God has some great plans for you this year. I believe that. I believe God is doing something in this church and has been for several years. And I think it's building. I think it's beginning to culminate and come to this head. And I believe with all of my heart that God has something great in store for you this year. I believe that this is going to be a year that He is going to set you apart. And He is going to use you in a mighty, mighty way for His glory. I believe that with all my heart. But I also believe something else. I believe before He can do that, you are going to have to first take control of how Satan maneuvers around in your life. Last week I began a series of messages. It's a short series. It'll be 3, maybe 4 weeks. And it's a short series of messages that I have titled The Badge of Authority. And these messages are designed to help you understand how to use the authority that Jesus gave you to keep Satan from having his way in your life. Last week, I want to share something with you before I go any further here. I had been working on this series and getting it put together for right after the first of the year. And last Saturday night, I had the message together, had everything in place. And Saturday night around 10 o'clock, it was just impressed on my heart, I need to go read my Bible. For those of you who were here last week, you will understand this when I say, I need to go read my Bible. I need to go read my Bible. I went to the Word of God and I thumbed through it and I was finding something there and I was trying to work my way around through it, and I couldn't find anything that really spoke to me, but I kept working with it. And don't misunderstand, I get into my studies, and God's Word is alive and well, and He speaks to my heart every time I get in there, but I just couldn't connect with a passage. You guys know what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden, I was led to John chapter 5 in that passage of Scripture where Jesus found the man laying at the well that was 38 years crippled up, and Jesus went straight over to him and said to him, look, man, do you want to get well? You guys know the passage. I've used it a million times in counseling. And all of a sudden, man, that Scripture opened up. And within 20 minutes, I had a whole new sermon laid out. It's over there in my Bible. I'm talking no notes, no anything, no nothing. It was just there, all just boom. So I got up about 10:30 and I began to ask myself, okay, Lord, I'm not understanding this because I've got my message laid out for Sunday. I'm beginning this series on the badge of authority, and then all of a sudden here comes this other message down the line, and I'm not sure what to do with this. I need you to help me with that. Well, when I came in here Sunday morning, I went upstairs and put both of those messages in the computer because I did not know which one I was going to preach. When I was standing right there in worship, everything in that last song last week, everything became crystal clear that I was to preach the badge of authority. I came up here and I did what I felt like God was calling me to do. And listen to me. 8 people gave their heart to Jesus for the first time last week. What would have happened had I went the other direction and preached the other message last week? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I believe with all of my heart that God has something great in store for you. But you have to listen. You have to follow His direction in order for you to receive it. In the message last week, I talked with you about how one of Satan's primary objectives is to replace your thoughts with his thoughts. His primary objective is to replace your thoughts with his thoughts, because he knows and he understands that if he can do that, he can control your life. If he can make you think that what he's speaking into your thought life is coming from you, he will control your life. And you will begin to do things that he calls you to do without even realizing he's telling you to do it. His objective is to control your life. And he will do that by whispering right here. And when he whispers, he will whisper to you in a first-person language so you will believe that it is your thoughts. He will never say to you, "You need to quit smoking," or "You can't quit smoking." He will say to you, "I can't quit smoking. I can't stop. I enjoy it. I like that." He will speak to you in that first person language so you will begin to believe that what you are hearing is your own thoughts. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, if this is true, how do we determine what is really our own thoughts and what is coming from Satan? Well, let me answer that for you. Question everything. Question everything. And then line it up against the Word of God and see how it lines up. You are in a state of warfare, spiritual warfare with Satan. And everything that comes across your way, you need to question it and see how it lines up with the Word of God. Listen to me. If you hear yourself saying, "I can't quit. I can't quit," then you need to line that up with the Word of God, because the Word of God says you can. The Word of God says that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. When you begin to think in your mind, "I can't figure this out," you line it up against the Word of God, where God spoke through Jeremiah and said, "You call unto me and I will give you great answers to everything that you can't figure out. Unsearchable things." Line everything up. Question everything. When you begin to hear yourself say, "I'm not worth anything," you remember Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and give you hope and a future." You remember that God so loved the world, and you are the world, that He gave His Son to die on the cross for you. Don't you ever believe that voice that says, "I'll never be worth anything." You line it up against the Word of God. You line it up against the Word of God and see where it stands. There was a time in your life, listen to me, when you were forced to live like a child of this world, but you don't have to live like that anymore. There was a time in your life when you spoke to yourself and said, "I'm not going to be worth anything." Well, you wouldn't if you didn't change your life. There's a time in all of our lives that we can identify with. But if you are in a right relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, then you are a child of the King, and you don't have to live that defeated life anymore. The Word of God says to us in Colossians, look at this, chapter 1, verse 13. He said, "For He," speaking of God, "He has rescued," look at this, "He has rescued me from the dominion of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom I have redemption." And he said, if that's true, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if anyone's in Christ, if you've had that redemption, he said, then he is a new creation. And the old is gone and the new has come. Here comes the biggest question that Christians deal with. Now I want you guys to stay with me here. If this is true, if I am truly a new creation in Christ, then how come I still struggle with some of the same thoughts and some of the same feelings that I used to have before I became a Christian? If I'm really a new creation, how come I still struggle with some of the same things in my life that I brought to the altar when I got saved? Why do I still find myself looking, going, "Woo, oh, you're married." Sorry. Come on, guys. Why do I find myself still wanting to sit down and have a drink? Why do I find myself still thinking the same things, that feeling the same feelings that I had before I came to Jesus? Do you ever find yourself doing that? Hello? If you don't, would you do me a favor? Would you stand up? Because we'd all like to see who that is. We all do it, man. We all deal with those things in our life. Every single one of us bring that, what we were dealing with in the world, right into our life. Right into our life. How is that? Let me see if I can help you understand. Stay with me. Before you ask Jesus to come into your life, before you ask Him to save your soul, you were a child of this world. You were a child of this world, and as a child of the world, you did not have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. Nor did you understand the ways of God. You could not understand the ways of God before you got the Holy Spirit, before Jesus Christ came into your life. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, remember lining it up against the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Word of God says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." Now let's stop right there. How many of you, before you got saved, used to call us Bible thumpers? Good Mr. and Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. You see, we didn't understand the things of God, and they were foolishness to us before we got the Spirit of God living within us. We considered all of that foolishness to us, and we couldn't understand them because they were spiritually discerned. They were hidden from us. God's not going to throw His treasures to somebody that don't know Him. God's not going to throw His treasures to someone that doesn't know Him. Do you know in John chapter 9, the Word of God says that He doesn't even listen to a sinner's prayer? I mean, He hears you, He knows what you're saying, but God's not going to act on it like He would if it was one of His children. The Word of God says we didn't have the Spirit of God living within us, so we didn't understand the things of God. And therefore, listen to me, we learn to live our lives independent of God. We learn to live our lives growing up in this world without God's direction. Listen to me, you did things back then that you wouldn't dream of doing today. You went places that you wouldn't even think about going today. You hung out with people that you don't associate with anymore. Back in those days. Well, back in those days, you even spoke a different language than you do today. Because back then, it was okay to lie and to cuss and to gossip and run people down. And if we're going to line that up with the Word of God says we're supposed to build them up or shut up. So you see, we even spoke a different language back then than we do today. Back then, let me tell you something, guys. It was all about take care of number one. I am not my brother's keeper. Do you understand? We believe that God's Word said, "He who helps himself, God helps those who help themselves." Show me it in the Word of God. Show me in the Word of God where it says that He helps those who help themselves. That's the way of the world, man. That's the way we believed when we were pre-Christian, before we had Jesus in our... Do you guys remember those days? I mean, some of you don't, because you've been Christian since dirt. But for the most part of us, we remember those days. I remember those days. Man, I was standing there singing that song this morning about I'm amazed how He loves me, and I just started having tears running down my face because I am amazed that He even loves me. Not how He loves me, but that He even is willing to love me. I was standing there thinking about my life and the people I've hurt and the things I've done, the lies I've told, the homes I've broke up, the things I've stole. Yep, Pastor Rocky. The way I cheated, tore up my marriage, my children, ran off and left my kids, man. And He still loves me? He loves me? I am amazed, man, that He even loves me. Much less how He loves me. So I'm standing there this morning... Tears are just running down my face, and I reached over my coat and got my handkerchief because I knew I was going to need it up here. I am amazed that He even loves me after the way I lived my life back then. Do you remember how you lived back then? This would be fine. Sure you do. Some of us don't want to admit it. Some of us don't want to go back and relive it. Some of us don't want to deal with it. But we remember it. Oh, we remember it. It was as if we were living in a survival mode. The Bible has a name for that kind of living. It's called living in the flesh. Now here comes the answer to your question about why we sometimes think and feel the same way that we did back then. Listen to me. Before Jesus came into your life, before you found yourself on your face and received Jesus as your Savior. Listen to me. All of those things that you did and said and went and hung out with and whatever, all of those things were a part of your life. And because they were a part of your life, you stored up all of those things up here in your memory. When you got saved, no one reached in there and punched the delete button. You don't have one. There is no delete button. So when you got saved, you brought all of that garbage right into your life with you. You brought everything into this relationship with you. Everything that you felt, everything that you did, all of that trash, all of that garbage was recorded, and listen to me, and is still recorded in your memory. That's why you can go back and remember what you were before you met Jesus. Because everything was and is still there. And that's why Paul said it is so important that we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You see, if we go back and take a good look at the way we lived back there, you see, we lived our life in a form where we developed what was called defense mechanisms to justify the way that we were living. Do you know that? We developed defense mechanisms that kept you off my back. Well, Satan, listen to me. He still preys on those defense mechanisms today. It's those defense mechanisms that he whispers right here and talks with you about. It's those defense mechanisms that he uses to ruin your life and pull you back into the world. What are you talking about, Pastor Rocky? Well, let me give you some example. Some of you, before you came to know Jesus as your Savior, you mastered the art of denial. Do you know that? You refused to deal with the truth. You refused to deal with the truth. I like the way I'm living. Let me ask you something. Looking back, did you? I like what I'm doing with my life. Looking back right now, did you really? Did you? I don't need Jesus in my life. I'm doing just fine without Him. I can make it on my own. Could you? Really? Looking back, could you? I'm a good person. There's no way that I'm going to go to hell. Were you? You see, we mastered the art of denial so that we didn't have to deal with the truth in our life. It was a defense mechanism that we used to justify the way we were living, and we liked it. Some of you, you lived in a world of fantasy. Some of you still do. I'm one of us, sometimes. But back then, we mastered the art of fantasy because it was a means of escape for us. And back then, many of us, it was okay to just smoke one. It was okay to just smoke one. Because you see, if we smoked just one, it would just let the pressure off. It would help. Some of you smiling. You got to stop that. You're in church this morning. You got to stop that. Satan, get away from here. But we did, man. It was a way it just kind of let off the pressure. It just took me away. Calgon type thing, you know. Calgon, rolled up in a paper. We lived in a fantasy world. We believed that. But I need that. That's why we got drunk. That's why we got drunk. That's why we took pills. That's why we smoked pot. That's why we left our wives or our husbands and found somebody else. Because we always believed that it was going to take us away. That the grass was greener over there. Pastor Philip preached a message here a while back that said, you better watch that green grass. It could be growing over a septic tank. Wow. But we believed that. We lived in this fantasy world. Some of you, you simply lived in a life of withdrawal. And some of you are still in a state of withdrawal. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I'm the pastor. I know. You're not comfortable with others. You're not comfortable with others. And so you back away. You leave and you become like that recluse, if you want to call it that. So you don't have a lot of friends that you hang out with. Do you know why? Because you don't want to have to explain why you are the way you are. That's the way we were back then. We didn't want to explain the way that we were. Why are we like that? We didn't want to have to talk to them about the things that happened in our life that made us withdraw. We didn't want to talk about how we got molested as a child. Because that hurt. So instead, we just withdraw. We didn't want to talk about those things that hurt way down deep inside. So we just lived a life of withdrawal. It was one of our defense mechanisms. Many of you used anger. If something happened in your life that you didn't like, you blew up. You just flat blew up. That was the extent of it. You didn't care who was there. You just blew up and you said to yourself, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. If I get it all out, everything will be fine. Well, let me tell you something. If you take a stick of dynamite and light it and throw it out there, it'll blow up. But when the dust clears, you better go look and see what's left behind. It's not okay. But we use that as one of our defense mechanisms. Some of us used to use blame. Wow. It was everybody else's fault. Stay with me. We're going somewhere with that. I'm going to tie all this together. Some of us used to use blame. I found an illustration that I got to read. The manager of a minor league baseball team became so disgusted with his center fielder's performance that he ordered him to the dugout and he assumed the position himself. I can just see this coach. Get out of there! I'll do it myself! The first ball came and came out into the center field and it took a bad hop and hit the manager right in the mouth. The next one was a high-flying ball and he lost it in the glare of the sun until it bounced off his forehead. The third one was a hard-line drive that he charged with outstretched arms and unfortunately it flew between his hand and smacked him right in the eye. Furious, he ran back to the dugout, grabbed the center field and grabbed his uniform and shouted, he said, "You idiot! You've got center field so messed up that even I can't do a thing with it." Blame is when it's everyone else's fault. A gentleman by the name of Wayne W. Dyer, he wrote something that I thought was very important. He said, "All blame is a waste of time. No matter how much fault you find with another, and regardless of how much you blame him, it will not change you. The only thing blame does is keep the focus off you when you're looking for an external reason to explain your unhappiness or your frustration. I did it because you did that. Or I didn't do it because you didn't do that." You may succeed in making another feel guilty of something by blaming him, but you won't succeed in changing whatever it is about you that is making you unhappy. The last defense mechanism that I want to talk about is rationalization, which is making excuses for ourselves. Making excuses for ourselves. Some of us have an excuse for why we lived the life that we did. Listen to me. My dad was a drunk. That's why I drink. My mom ran off with another man. That's why I am the way I am. I was poor, and there was no food on my table. I was molested when I was a child. You can't even believe how I was beaten as a child growing up. All of the excuses for why we feel the way we feel. I was raised in a drug-infested home. That's why I smoke. We always make excuses for ourselves. All of these things are defense mechanisms, man. They're defense mechanisms to help us get through life. I want to tell you something. We don't have to live like that anymore. Ever since Jesus came into our life, He delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He delivered us from blame and anger and rationalization and excuses. He delivered us from all of those things. And we don't have to live like that unless we choose to. Now, here comes the application to all of this. So stay with me here. I'm going to tie all this together for you. Satan is still whispering some of these things into some of your ears. And he's whispering them to you in a first-person language. And you're listening. Some of you are listening. You are believing that they are still your thoughts, and he is now controlling your life through that. And we don't even realize it. We simply think it's still us living in the flesh. Why did I do that? It's just who I am. No, it's not. Not if you know Jesus, it's not. Because the old is gone and the new has come. No, it's not. But if Satan can make you believe it is, then you'll live as if you are that same person. And he's whispering in some of your ears. And he's telling some of you, I can't stop. And so we don't. So how do we do that? How do we make it stop? And you need to make it stop. Because God cannot use you for His glory until we make it stop. Not in the mighty way that He wants to. We have to make it stop. So how do we make it stop? Goes back to what I said last week, real quick. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came to them and He said, this is the disciples. He said, listen to me. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Remember last week? That word authority, according to its original Greek form, is the right to rule. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I have the right to rule on heaven, in heaven and on this earth. All of it has been given to me. And it was given to him based on his legal position or his rank. That's the way authority is given out. Jesus is the Son of God, and according to that scripture, He has been given all of the authority in heaven and on earth. He is at the top of the food chain, man. He is the commander-in-chief when it comes to authority. Well, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, stay with me. Jesus said to the disciples, He said to them, the 72, He said, I have given you authority. I have passed that authority on to you. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing, He said, will harm you. Jesus gave those 72 men the authority to go forth and carry out the responsibility that He gave them. Question, did Jesus give you a responsibility? Did Jesus give you a responsibility? Yes. Do you not think He gave you the authority to carry it out? Yes. No good manager would ever give somebody a job to do without giving them the authority to go forth and carry out that job. When Jesus assigned you a responsibility, He gave you the authority the same as He gave those 72 men that authority. The problem at hand, guys, is we're not exercising it. Listen to me. You remember the illustration last week when I said, take the police officer, put him in his uniform, stick on his badge and give him a whistle, put him in the middle of the intersection, let traffic be going like this. If he blows that whistle and raises that hand, every car stops. Do you know why? The man has been given authority and he is out there exercising it. Every car will stop if he raises his hand. But if you take that same police officer, put him in his same uniform, give him his badge and his whistle, stand him on the curb and let him go, stop! Stop, you guys! Stop! Do you think they're going to stop? They don't stop because he's not exercising the authority that was given to him. And that's what's happening to us as Christian men and women. Satan is beating us to death because we're not exercising the authority given to us. He is whispering these things into our ears. He is pulling us back into the world. And God is the one who's losing because He can't use us for His glory as long as we're living out there with the pigs. Do you understand? And that was an analogy from Luke 15 when I said out there with the pigs. If you want to stop him from reminding you of how you used to live and speaking all of those things into your life, you have to exercise the authority that Jesus Christ gave you when He saved your soul. The Word of God says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Nowhere in God's Word does it say that you are to run.
Nowhere in God's Word, the only thing it ever says is that we are to forsake the very appearance of evil. But God has given you a spiritual armor to stand your ground. Just like He gave that police officer that uniform. Just like He gave him the badge of authority. Close with this. Are you still telling yourself that it's okay to live a life of denial? Seriously, come on. Let's get real here just for a minute. Is it okay? Is it okay to believe that you don't have to get all that garbage out of your life? Is it? Is it okay to believe that you don't have to go to church? I can go to church. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to tithe and support that place. I don't have to work in that church. And it's not my job to make sure that somebody else gets to Jesus. It's the preacher's job. That's why we pay him. Is that the truth? Are you still living a life of denial? Are you allowing that to be spoken into your life? What about fantasy? I can do whatever I want. I'm an adult. I don't need that church telling me what I can do and what I can't do with my life. Do you? What about withdrawal, where you just don't want to be around people? I don't want to have to explain it. Anger? Just blow up at people and think it's okay? Let me ask you a question, guys. Look up here, everybody. If the bug on the wall could talk, what would he say about your house? I don't want to live there. I'm a bug on the wall and can't wait to get out. Ain't no peace in this house. Either he's blowing up or she's blowing up or somebody's doing something. And you know what? It's all okay. It's okay because as soon as I get it all out, I'll be better. Is that true? What about excuses? Make excuses for yourself? I knew I would never amount to nothing. You know, my daddy used to tell me that I would never amount to anything. My daddy said to me more times than one, he'd be drinking and drunk. I remember one time that he told me I would never be worth the powder that it would take to blow me to hell. I remember when I was about 5, my dad came in drunk one night, whiskey drunk, took his Bible and pulled all of us kids down the floor. Let's get out of bed. There's 5 of us at that time, and he put us in the middle of the floor. And I remember it. My brothers and sisters probably don't. They were pretty young. But I remember him sitting there with that Bible and sitting on that chair, pointing his finger at us, telling us that we would never go to heaven. Not us. You ain't worth it. Do you need an excuse? We can make excuses all day long for why we are the way we are. Or we can truly believe that we are a new creation in Christ and that Jesus Christ has reached down from the pits of hell and delivered our soul. My question to you is simply this. Are you blaming people? Making excuses? And the last question is simply, are you tired of living like that? Because if you are, change starts right here, guys. Y'all, you got to stand up for just a minute. We're almost done here, and we're going to wrap this thing up. And I want you guys to stand up. And I'm going to close with this. And I want you guys to look up here, all of you. Come on. Nobody leave. Please, stay put. Right now, just for a minute. Listen to me. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then you are allowing Satan to tell you that it's okay. And I want you to know something. And I want you to know this with my heart. I love you with all of my heart. But I want you to know something else. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and I mean truly have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus, when you die, you will go to hell. And you will be separated from everything that you love. But you can change it this morning. Paul said Jesus came to save sinners, of who he was the worst. And Pastor Philip and I have been debating on who's been the worst between him and I. Anybody else want to join in that debate? I'm sure there's probably room for all of us. But Jesus Christ will save your soul. All you have to do is ask Him. And He'll give you a brand new life. Tell you something else. If you've allowed Satan to whisper in your ear and say, I can't do that, you can slip on your badge of authority, walk up to an altar, call him a liar, put him in his place, and walk out of here a new creation in Christ. Or you can stand on the curb and go, stop. Please stop. You're hurting me. I'm not sleeping at night. Please stop. What are you going to do with it, guys? You have been given a badge of authority. You want to exercise it? You want to make it stop? If you don't know Jesus, you need to get up here. If you've been dealing with all of these defense mechanisms and letting Satan speak them into your life, you need to get up here. And you need to take authority. And you need to get your life back. Because God has something awesome in store for you this year, if you'll take it. But you have to make the first step. So, I'm going to pray. Jake's going to sing a song. The altars are going to be open. The rest is up to you. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I've done all I know how to do. I can't do anything else, Lord. I know that God, Satan, is having a field day with people, and Lord, we let him. But God, that don't have to be that way. So I pray and ask that in the name of Jesus, that people would begin to search their heart. And Father, we might be able to deal with those things in our life that we've been dealing with in the wrong manner, that we can put Satan back in his place. And when he comes to us again saying, I'm the governor, I want another piece of chicken, you remind him, we can remind him we are the ladies that's handing out the chicken. And that it stops here. Lord, touch the hearts of your people. Touch the hearts of your people and move them in Jesus' name.